Father, thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the faithful lives that we heard from today. We pray, God, that every testimony we share, every word we share, would encourage someone. As we prayed for Hunter and for Country this morning, I thank you for his friend Jeff, who was shot last night and is in the operating table even as we pray. We pray, Father, for him. We pray for lives that are on the balance, that are on the line. And may we have wisdom. May we have courage to share the love of Christ. May we be Spirit-led people. May we do good in this world everywhere we go. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Funerals are a good time to kind of, ask yourself, what's my life for? If you're not the one in the funeral. A little late then. But it's an amazing time to just sit back and evaluate what matters in life. When we watched the presentation of Gerda's life, I really didn't know Carrie's mom as a young lady. I've only known her the last years, and they were in Mexico and they were doing mission work and they would come and visit us. If you remember the very last time she was in our service with Robin and Mylin and little Nora's dedication, her last words she spoke to me were, "Eat the banana and throw out the peel." Yeah? You remember that? Around prophecy. And I was sitting in the memorial, just like you, and just saying, God, what matters in life? And, you know, I was thinking of the video that was going, it was like I was saying, I didn't really know your mom, but you just see all these pictures of a whole lifetime in a few pictures. And you know, I've done tons of mission presentations, and I've got videos, and I've got stuff that goes. And I'm just thinking, I wonder what really matters, what really counts for the kingdom of God. And I could preach lots of it, because I do, what really matters. But it's like God's view must be quite different than ours as he looks on our lives. And he asks us to love him and asks us to serve him and asks us to come and to be the best that we can be by doing what he wants us to do. And that's kind of what our whole series has been about. The Freedom Series is, if you remember the last couple of weeks, I talked about the freedom to serve God, the freedom, you know, it's not a license to do whatever you want. It's a freedom to obey. And last week, PJ talked about the freedom to choose to serve, to lay down our lives, to serve one another in love. And I remember his illustration about not buying a Christmas present for his sister's boyfriend. And I was thinking, I'm hoping this week, this year, he doesn't get my name at Christmas, because that's not a very good testimony right there. But it stuck in my head that we choose to serve one another in love. And so this morning, I'm just going to end this bit with doing good. We have freedom to do good. We are a bunch of do-gooders. If you forget everything else, remember that God has called us to do good. Let's just read the verse in Galatians 5. I think it's up here if you want to put it up for me, please. You got it? 9 and 10? There we go. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So we've been talking about freedom to obey God, and the best thing we can do is live for him, and freedom to serve and love one another. And actually, when we talk like that, it's not exactly what people have in mind about what freedom is. This whole book of Galatians, and we just go back to a couple of those slides, you can take them in the order that you want. But it's his declaration of the freedom of Christian life, that we have freedom. We are justified by faith in Christ. Christ has set us free. Nothing less and nothing more. That's what salvation is. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it. We are sanctified by our obedience that comes from faith in God's work. For us and in us and through us and by the grace and the power of Christ by his Holy Spirit. So Christian life boils down to it's Jesus working through us and in us by his Holy Spirit. He saves us. He redeems us. We are justified by putting our faith and trust in Him. Him alone, not by works. We're not working for salvation. We're not trying to earn anything. We're saved. But then our glorification, our sanctification, is by our obedience. When we choose to obey God, we find that as we obey God more and more and more, we walk into more and more and more of God's freedom. And the beautiful thing about a couple of weeks ago, I didn't really say it, is when the gifts of the Spirit are in us, the fruits of the Spirit are working in us, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. When that grows in us, there's no limitations to that. You can love forever and never run out and never get too much. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can, all the things of the Spirit of God are unlimited. But the fruits of the flesh, which Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, which I don't want to go back to, greed and selfishness and debauchery and whatever, they are never satisfied. And you can never be satisfied with greed. Greed just wants more. And it does more destruction and traps more. And sin destroys more. And the end of sin is death. And the works of the flesh just take us smaller and smaller and smaller, rob us more and more and more, and shrink our lives more and more and more. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit, the things of God, walking in the Spirit, what He invites us into, the life He invites us into, is broader and more exciting and bigger and more enjoyable and more passion and more life. And you know what I mean? It just is no end to it with the things of God. And you know, I said it many, many times, but if you meet a drunkard, you meet a sinner in Africa or China or America, South America, they all look the same. One drug addict in Macau, when I was there many years ago, looks just like a drug addict in Vancouver. They look the same. The sin robs and steals and kills and shrinks people's lives. But when we're walking, listening to God, and we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and it's being manifest in our life, joy, peace, love, forgiveness, self-control, all these fruits of the Spirit. And as we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, is what Galatians 5 says, we have more life and more abundant life. More of everything is available to us. And we can never have too much. We can go for it. And if you are into generosity and you are into serving and you are into obedience with God and serving one another in love, you can go at it for eternity and never run out. Never come to the end where, there's no more point in this. It's just limitless. When we serve God. And that's what Galatians is telling us. So I put this statement here. True freedom is freedom from ourselves. The more I wrestled with freedom and what it is, true freedom isn't just doing whatever I want. I don't want to repeat that whole message again. It is obeying God. It is serving God. It is serving one another in love. But true freedom is freedom from me. Freedom from my self, freedom from my needs, freedom from what I want, freedom what I think I deserve. It's freedom from me. And we say, I want to serve God. So, let me get to my message. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, we've already read it. Since we have in us to do good, let's do good. Just put it back up there. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good. See? Do good. You do-gooders. To everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So I got a couple of points. Number one is 6 verses 1 to 5. I'll take a couple of points out of that. True spiritual people restore those who are in sin. It says this, brothers, I'm in Galatians chapter 6 now. I'm just going back to verse 1. If you have your Bibles, just follow with me for a second. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anyone else. For each one should carry his own load. So, you want to be free? You want to be spiritual? You want to be led of God? You want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, was what Galatians chapter 5 is. I trust as Christians we're saying that's what we want. We want more of the Spirit. We want more of His life in us. We want to look more like Him, act more like Him. Then this is how you would live. He says this, true spiritual people restore those who are in sin. And we've heard those messages many times before, but we're often the worst ones at killing our own wounded. We're often the worst ones for judging others. We like to compare ourselves many times. And Paul's challenging the Galatians to walk in step with the Spirit means if someone has a problem, someone has fallen, someone has sinned, you who are spiritual, you who have the Spirit of God in your life, you should be the quickest ones to restore them. You shouldn't be the ones who are judging. You shouldn't be the ones who are making it harder for them in their life. We need to watch ourselves when we start to judge. The Bible speaks lots about judging not. Judge yourself and not judging others. Because one day we're going to stand before God, and if we haven't forgiven and if we are in the business of judging, then we're going to be judged much harsher by God Himself. We need to watch ourselves, and he says we need to carry the burdens of others. So if you want to do good as a believer, it's not hard. Help one another. Encourage one another. When someone is wrestling and struggling, and I could tell many, many testimonies right here in this church of people who have walked with, encouraged, and helped others to get through difficult times, to get through issues. And what was happening with the Galatians, and that's why this whole book was written to keep people free, is that they were trying to bring the law back, and they're trying to judge them and trying to put clamps back onto the Christians who are just coming out from under this whole Judeo-Jewish legalistic system. They're just starting to get free. They're starting to understand salvation. They're starting to understand the gospel. And as I said 2 weeks ago, Paul's being under attack. They said he's a fake apostle. He's not a real apostle. They challenged everything he said. He's just a small guy. He's a sickly guy. His words aren't even powerful. They attacked him. They were attacking the gospel. They were saying, besides that, you have to keep the law and you have to do all these things. And Paul's fighting for his life. When you read the whole book, and he's fighting for the gospel for you and me. And when you think back of it, if Paul had lost that battle at that time in those early churches, I know God could have raised up others and he could have done other things, but it's because of his fight that we've received this gospel that we have. This free gospel, this gospel that is the true gospel. If you go back in Galatians chapter 1, he says, why are you believing that false gospel? It's not even a gospel. What happened to you people? And he challenges them to come back to the true gospel, saved by faith, sanctified by serving in obedience to Christ and surrender to Him, walking in step with the Spirit. It keeps us free. It keeps us serving one another in love. And then he says, do good. Do good to one another. So truly spiritual people who are led of the Spirit, are looking for ways to be kind to one another, looking for ways to lift one another up, looking for ways to help a brother or sister who's going through a hard time. And it's a challenge because it's easier sometimes to just write people off. It's easier sometimes to just take the shortcut. Get tired, you get worn out of trying to walk with people, a spouse, a loved one, a son, a daughter, a family member, and you just are challenged by the book of Galatians, by Paul saying to us, do good to everyone, and especially to the house of God. And then the second part of this chapter, he says, true spiritual people sow into good things, and this is what I wanted to end with, spend their time on these things. First of all, verse 6 and 7, blessing others. I'm just going to read it. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So what is he saying? He's saying, bless others. You want to do good? Bless others. Think of it. Last week, PJ challenged us to make a choice to serve one another in love. It's a choice. And I've been thinking about those words this week. We had to help some people move. It's a choice to serve someone in love, not out of obligation. And I can honestly say, moving this week was not an obligation. I did give the one person a little hard time for the way she packed her things. It was my son and daughter-in-law who moved. But it was definitely not an obligation. My daughter and son-in-law. You see? You see? Sure. One little mistake, and that's what you're going to remember for the whole day. Bless others. Could I ask you something? Find a way to bless others. I thank God for this. And it's just a simple way to involve many people and to bless. And I know when those hampers are delivered, what it means to people when they receive it. But can I encourage you to bless others? Find ways. And I'm talking about money. Okay? I'm talking about time and service, yes. But I'm talking about money. Find somebody who can't repay you, who cannot pay you back. And give, and bless, and serve them, and love them, and encourage them. You want to be a spiritual person? Restore a fallen brother or sister. Watch out for yourself, because we're just the same as they are. But then find someone to do good to. Find someone to bless. People who are spiritual, please the Spirit in verse 8. They please God. And then verse 9 and 10 says, they do good. And he says this in verse 10, don't grow weary of doing good, because we do. Right? He had to put it there because it's easy to get tired of doing good. But he says, don't get tired of doing good. Don't. And this is a whole nother message, but you know, some people are generous with finance. Some people are servants. Some are good at administration. Whatever your gifting is, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. If your gift is administrative and you are serving in that way, or you, let me do it with serving. It's easier. You are serving and you're saying, well, no one else is serving. Just serve. It's your gift. It's your heart. It's your life. It's your joy. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Same with finances. Same with administration. Same with all the gifting. Find space for your gift and do it and serve and pour it out and bless people as unto the Lord. And don't get tired in it. Don't get weary doing it. Don't quit. It's like, you know, you have a worship team. Thank you to the worship team, by the way. And, you know, after 7 or 8 years, you can get weary. Well, don't get weary. Do it as unto the Lord. And if you need to have a break, you take a break. That's, nobody's holding that against anybody, okay? It's just when we serve, when we love, when we give, when we do something, and I'm the same as all of you, I have to say to myself, do this with joy. Otherwise, you're missing the point of it. Otherwise, why do it? And I could tell you stories of times when I have been free to give, and it's been the most amazing joy in my life. And then the fruit of it that comes back in so many ways. And there's other times when you just do your duty, and that's okay too. You just, not that every day is exciting, you just do it, but there's a reward in serving God with joy in our life. And don't get tired. He says, don't give up. Why does he say don't give up? Because we do. We give up. We get tired and we give up. And he says, don't give up. He said, well, I've been doing this. I've been talking to this person. I've been sharing. I've been kind. You know, I always remember L. Downey's story. His neighbor is the policeman. He's been speaking to him for 17 years. I might exaggerate a year or two. It might even been longer. And I remember listening to him when he was speaking here, and I'm thinking, I don't want to wait 17 years for my neighbor to finally listen to me. I can only shovel snow for 7 or 8 years, and then I'm going to quit. And this last couple of days, it seems like the snow just keeps coming. No, but don't give up. Don't give up. Because we never know when that friend is going to be ready, when God's going to speak, when something's going to turn, and we'll see the fruit of our labor, and we'll see what changes. It says, look for opportunity, look for ways. Now, this is important. Look for opportunities. Look for a chance. I haven't done it here very much because we're a smaller group and it's very close and personal. So giving that we do quietly, and we give through, and it's passed on from through the church. And we recommend people do that. But you know how many times it's been a blessing to just be able to give to somebody, to change their circumstances. They can never pay it back. They can never restore it, and you just bless them. And it's us who get blessed more than them when you do it for God and when you do it with the right heart and the right attitude. He says, do good to all people in these verses. It's easy to do good to people we like. He says, do it to all people. Do it to everyone. Look for those opportunities to do good. And when people don't respond well and they don't care, just keep doing good. Do good. Be a do-gooder and never stop doing it. And don't get tired of doing it. And don't give up doing it. And look for more opportunities to do it. And then find more people to do it for. And for all people everywhere. And you'll find the freedom of God when you do it. And then lastly, and I am done with this, he says, especially for the church. Especially for the family of believers. And this is where it can get a little bit tricky for some people. Because I know there are lots of needs around the city. And I know at Christmas time, our mailbox and our emails and our phone gets rung. And there's lots of needs. And I want to encourage you to do good to all people. But I also want to put in what Paul says here, especially. Just read that word, put a line around it. Especially to the household of faith. Especially to the family of believers, as the NIV says. Especially to the church. Encourage one another. And, you know, when I say this as a church pastor, sometimes people don't understand us. You know, I've shared some of our stories. I bet there's 1,000 good ministries going on in this city all the time. Many of them write to us. Many of them put stuff in our mailboxes. I'm not against any of them, but we have to decide where we can use what we have. We have to decide what we can do as a church family, who we can help and what we can get involved in the city and what we can put our efforts and our finances into. And as my good friend, whatever his name is, Heinz, he is a good friend, he used to say, just in this one square block of this city of Edmonton, we could use up all the finances of this church just trying to meet the needs in this one city block. So what do? We have to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. Us as a church is the best answer for this city block that there is. If we will share the gospel, if we will do what we can, every day when the kids are in here from the school, and every parent we meet, and every one of you being the light of the gospel is the best thing that this church can do in this community. And so if we can encourage each other, I'm not against any other ministries going on, but as I said, I shared it and I went off track again, but it's like we had ministerial meetings and they come and they present the needs in the city. And one particular one was chaplains in every community of the city. And these are his exact words. Give us your best men. Give us your best man to be our chaplain for this community. Blue Quill or Greenfields or any of these communities. Give us your best. And I'm sitting there thinking, you give us your best. We are already in this community. We are the chaplains of this community. We have 120 chaplains in this community already. We are doing what you want to do. We are counseling and praying and changing the atmosphere of this community by being here. So we're not against that. But come and throw your weight in here. The church is not here just to supply people for young adults meetings and for Grey Cup prayer meetings and whatever. And they're all good things. But God has called us to be a church, to care for one another, to do good to all people, but especially to the house of God, to care for one another. And the best thing we can do for one another is be healthy, be uplifting, be generous, be good. When someone stumbles, we restore them. We love and encourage and bless. And we touch the whole entire world because we're a healthy church. And so if you say, well, you know, your priority is just this church. You're right. God has one plan, and that's his local church to change the world. And that's you and me. And when we come together and we strengthen each other and pray for one another and bless one another, we can make a difference in the world. And that doesn't mean don't go and join the Rotary Club and don't do good things in the community. I'm not saying that. But God, help us to build a church that cares for one another, strengthens one another, blesses one another, that we can have an answer for the community that we live in. Is that okay? That's why we come together. That's why we pray together. That's why we say, get behind the vision of this church. People keep saying to me, what's the vision of this church? Jesus is the vision of the church. But how do we live that out? We live it out in community. The only meetings we have is Sunday mornings and a life group. Get involved in one. When I'm on this track, I might as well keep going. Right, Russell? Somebody encouraged me here. You know, I've seen people who have been part of this church, some for many years. And it's like, the picture I have is like railroad tracks. You know, parallel, running into eternity. You see these two tracks. They never get involved. They run parallel with us. And I can't change that. I'm saying, come run with us. Do it. But what we need is for the tracks to come together so that we can encourage one another. And as long as people are running parallel, and what I mean by that is they love the fellowship. They love the vibe. They love it's such a friendly church, but they never become part of it. They never strengthen what the church is to be. They just run parallel with it. And I'm saying, if that's you today, don't do that. Be good to one another. Connect with one another. Lift one another up. Pray for one another. Come and join lives with one another. It's costly. But it's in those serving that we are set free. It's when we give of ourselves to others that we're set free from ourselves. My needs, my wants, what I am about, my ministry, my life. We are set free from that when we serve one another in love. And we do it as unto the Lord. And I'm happy if, you know, there are many, many, many good churches in the city. If you're visiting, you're welcome. If this is your home, knit in here. Get involved. Pray. Give. Commit to be part of a family. If it's not here, then find where it is and give your life to it. And that's what Galatians is talking about. And he says, and I'll conclude for the third conclusion. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when he brings it all together, circumcision doesn't matter, no circumcision, following the law, doing all these things, none of these things matter. What matters is the cross and what Jesus did for us and our surrendering our life to him. So when you think of the cross, it shows God's love. It shows God's commitment. It's his generosity to us, giving himself for us. And he asks us, Paul writing, the Holy Spirit anointing him, he asks us to do that as well. When you've received, as PJ said last week, when you understand what God's done for us, it's not an obligation to serve one another. It's not an obligation to help somebody. It's not an obligation to give of yourself to someone else. But it has to become a revelation. Otherwise it is. Otherwise we grow weary. Otherwise we give up. Otherwise we just quit. It's just like, what's the point? What's the point of this? But when you have a revelation of who God is and what he's done in your life and my life, then we're like, okay, I can do this. I will serve. I will lay down my life. I will, rather than judge someone else, rather than push someone else down, I'm going to lift someone up. I'm going to encourage someone else in their life. And by doing that, we reap. And don't be mocked, Paul says, a man will reap what he sows. And so I'm saying to myself, and I'm saying to you today, okay, what have I grown tired in? What have I given up on? What opportunities have I missed? What does God want me to do with my life? I'm sitting at Gerda's funeral. Amazing woman who's writing books till the last moment. The last thing I not because she was in church, but one of the last times I spent with her before that was she had to get back to Mexico. She has to finish her texts. She's got some books that she's working on and I'm thinking, I don't even know if you should get on an airplane. And I'm thinking, so what's wrong with me? It's like those guys who play piano and they have three fingers. Have you ever seen those guys? YouTube, and they use one foot. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I took piano lessons for 4 years. And as soon as the teacher blotted out the numbers, you know, because he used the finger numbers, not the notes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And she'd always catch me because then it would drop down to another octave and I'd still be over here, 1, 2, 3. So for 4 years we tried it and then she just quit. She told our mom, it's just stealing your money to do piano lessons for him. What are we doing with our life? Let's use every opportunity to do good.